Funny how that works. So I get the button, right?
Yeah, you get the button because they're your slides.
Wait a minute.
I only put the movies in.
Yeah, that's right. He's our film editor. Okay, so we got all the...
Yep, I think we're all ready.
Are they loaded?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Locked, loaded, ready. So everybody wants to know why we're here today. Well, I'll let our favorite three guys tell you.
AV, we need the fiendish thingy.
For the clicker.
The fiendish thingy.
You're using your laptop, aren't you?
Yeah. But don't. It doesn't have a. Yeah. The fiendish thingy.
Whoops.
Okay. For the first prize goes to the person who can name the movie that's from. This is going to be one of those crowds, isn't it?
Hey, rough audience. And it's green.
It's not easy being green.
Is it moving?
There we go.
Nation. Father, remember that. Come on, Steiner, crack your head up. Go on.
Yes, what's the matter with you?
Well, stow this away.
Leave him alone, will you?
Obviously, we're here to talk to you about Smack. Okay. What we're not here to talk to you about is how Smack is implemented or the inner workings of the kernel and how Smack is done. Casey's been doing that for the last 2 years for Tizen, and so we decided we were going to do something totally different, and...
we're going to talk about how you should use it as opposed to what it is. So okay. Before we get too far in here, we want to kind of scope out the house a little bit.
Yes.
Scope out the house. So how many of you here are security people? Okay, great. We can ignore them. Okay, how many of you are app developers?
How many of you are app developers that are looking to see how Smack is going to affect your application?
Okay. Now, how many of you are system developers?
Okay,
how many of you are here because of the free food? Okay, you can leave because you've already had all the free food.
There is no more free food. This is the end of the day.
All right. So Smack has been mainline in the Linux kernel since about 2008, and it's standard in Tizen.
And how come you know all that?
How come I know all that? Because I wrote it.
Ah.
So and I'm the kernel maintainer for the Smack Linux security module. So I'm
Michael Demeter. I work for OTC in Hillsboro, Oregon.
And I'm Casey Schaffler, and I work for OTC at Intel in Moss Beach, California.
Wait a minute. We don't have an Intel office in Moss Beach.
That's true. It's just me and the Harbor Seals.
Dude. Okay. Where are we going to go to from here now?
We're going to talk about the basic rule of Smack.
Oh, where you cannot drive over 55 unless it's posted.
Right. No. The basic rule for Smack is that what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours.
Ah, okay. So you can't talk to me.
That's right.
Okay, I can't talk to you.
Right.
Okay. How do we get around that?
Well, we allow for exceptions.
Okay.
We call these Smack rules.
Okay.
So, but we're not quite there yet.
Oh, we aren't?
No. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
I read the script. You believe you put your thumb on it.
Okay.
All right, great. All right, so Smack is the simplified mandatory access control kernel. But a very smart person once said that things should be as simple as possible, but no simpler. Now, how can that possibly be? What could be better than absolutely completely simple? Well, you're lying.
Smack.
Thank you.
Domains.
Thank you.
Labels.
Well, the reason why. Okay, so
isolation.
Isolation, right? So isolation is easy. It really is. Okay, we've got dozens of mechanisms in the Linux kernel for isolating things from each other. Sharing is hard.
I know. My sister and I never shared anything.
Well, maybe you should have stayed out of that one drawer.
Yes. Next.
So, the simple thing about SMAC, okay, is that the way you identify what's mine and what's Mike's is everything gets a label. A label is just a text string, and it gets attached to everything. You attach a label to a process, to a file, to an internet packet. Everything gets a SMAC label.
Okay.
All right. Now,
I got my SMAC label when I was born.
Yes, and your parents were very privileged to be able to do that.
Yes.
But on a Linux system, privilege is a little bit better defined.
Oh, okay. So SMAC works with Linux.
It does, in fact. Okay. In fact, SMAC is very closely integrated into the other security mechanisms that the Linux kernel has. So the capability mechanism, the user ID mechanism, these are all integrated and it all works together.
Okay.
Like horses in a troika. So the way you get a label onto a process, first off, you can't change it.
Okay. So I can't, there's no way for me to go change a label.
That's right. Okay. It requires a privileged process to do that.
Okay.
So you either have to be root or you have to have a capability, and that capability is
next slide.
I know that's the next slide. I haven't done this one yet.
Okay.
Mike, don't speed me up. Don't rush me. All right, so how does an application get a SMAC label? Well, a privileged process either sets it explicitly.
Okay.
Or when the program is installed, it gets a tag, which is we call SMAC64exec for obvious reasons. And when a program is invoked, it automatically runs with that SMAC label.
Okay.
Right? But it requires privilege to set that attribute on a file, and it requires privilege to change it in the program itself.
Okay.
So, what does privilege mean in this case? Well, privilege in this case is we're talking about Linux capability. So, as you were saying earlier, they're very tightly related.
Okay. So, if I'm an application and I decide I'm an application writer, I'm going to write my new application, and I say I'm going to take and use CatMac override for my application.
Well, if it's a regular application, you're not going to be able to do that because you need privilege, and we're not going to run you with privilege.
Okay. And so,
but what you can do is in the installation manifest, you can specify the SMAC label that it should run with.
Okay, so I can specify any label?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, of course, your application store is going to look at that and say whether that's appropriate or not.
Okay.
And by default, it's going to come in a system-defined way.
What about CatMac admin?
Well, CatMac admin allows you to change the label of other things. CatMac override allows you to violate the policy.
Okay. So applications have no access to those.
That's correct. Okay. So applications are constrained by SMAC at all times.
Okay. So that's good. Okay. So we know what privilege is.
That's right.
Okay.
And most people don't have to worry about it at all.
Next.
Domains. All right. So we're going to talk about how many of you know what a security domain is?
How many know how many different definitions of domain there is right now?
There are. Well, I don't think anybody actually knows how many there are, but the estimate is around a dozen.
Yes.
All right. So what I mean when I say domain, and I'm trying to teach Michael this, he'll get it eventually.
Yes.
Okay. Is all the files, all the system resources that have a particular SMAC label, and all the processes that have that same SMAC label make up a domain. So if I have a process running with Mike as a label and a bunch of files that are labeled Mike, that's all the Mike domain.
So if I have my notebook here.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to read it.
Yeah.
You can't.
That's right, because it's yours.
Now, suppose I give you read.
Well, hang on here. We've got to tell them about exceptions. Is that the next slide? Hey!
A SMAC process label.
Well, we start talking about the next slide, and it automatically pops up. That's great.
Isn't that amazing?
So access rules. So because we've got this basic rule that says, I can't look at you, you can't look at me, we need to have a way to introduce exceptions. And so we have a mechanism called access rules. And what an access rule is it's two labels and an access mode. So I can say, I'm in the Casey domain, Mike's in the Mike domain, and I can, that's my notebook, not yours. That's the way we rehearsed it. Okay. So if Mike wants access to, if he wants to read my notebook, we need a rule that says the Mike domain has read access to the Casey domain. And we can add that to the list of rules. And then Mike.
Can I read your notebook?
Well, now we've got a rule in here that allows this. Sure, you can read my notebook.
Thanks.
Smack!
What did you do that for?
You're gonna write on my notebook.
I know.
You don't have write access.
What do you mean I don't have write access?
No, you have read access.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you can't do that.
Okay, now give me write access.
Okay, so now we take away the read access and just give you write access.
Okay, give me your notebook. Give me your notebook.
You can't see it. You don't have read access.
That's right. With files, to write to them, you have to be able to read them first.
Because if you can't see it, you can't see where it is to write on it. So you need both read and write access.
So now I have read-write access.
Okay, we give them. Oh, okay, here you go.
Thanks. I hate Casey.
Duh. All right, so now, so that's about files. Now, at this point, we need a volunteer.
A volunteer. Come on, somebody stand audience. Up. Somebody be a volunteer here.
If we don't, if nobody volunteers, we're going to choose somebody.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, we're going to choose you.
Go get him. Come on, yes. Come on up here.
Come on up.
We need a volunteer here.
Yes. All right. Okay. Okay, and your name is?
Eric.
I'm Michael. Nice to meet
Eric.
You, Kirk.
Eric. Okay, Eric. Okay, so Michael, you need to be here.
Okay.
No, actually, no. Michael needs to be here. Eric,
we'll let you be over here.
You stand right there.
Good.
Okay, how are your catching skills?
Depends on what you're throwing.
Excellent. You're throwing these little IP packets. So what we're going to talk about, okay, we already talked about how files work, how communications work. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to demonstrate SMAC. So I have an IP packet here. It's got a label on it. It's got the Casey label on it because it's coming from me. And I'm going to try I'm going to send it to you, and you're in the Eric domain. All right? So are you ready? Okay.
Smack.
Why did you do that?
No write access.
Now remember, I need write access to Eric in order to send him a packet because I'm instigating the transaction here. So, okay, fine. Okay, so now, okay, let's give Eric read access.
Okay, Eric's got read access.
You have read access, so you can read things. You can read anything I've got. So I'm going to send you a packet now. Are you ready?
Smack.
Because
you don't have write access.
Fine. Now, we'll change it now. So now I have write access, but not read access.
Okay.
Okay. So I have write access to you. Are you ready? We use more packets this way. Oh, good job. Now send that on back.
TCP. Smack. Too fast.
That's a bug.
That was. I think it was a race condition.
Let's try that again, okay?
Smack!
There we go. Thank you, Michael.
Yes. So the race condition's been taken care of now.
Okay. So now if we have mutual write access, okay. Ta-da!
Completed communication.
Yay! Now ask me for my notebook.
Where's your notebook?
No.
Smack.
You can't read my notebook.
Smack.
Yeah.
Just because you can talk to each other does not mean you can look at his
you
files.
You can ask me what's in my notebook, and I can tell you what's in my notebook, but you can't look at it.
Okay. So you can't see it.
This makes it very easy if, for example, Eric is a service. The Eric service, I can talk to the Eric service all I want. Eric service can respond to me. But everybody
can't
happy.
Ever see his configuration files.
That's right. There we go. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks,
you can
Eric.
Keep that as a souvenir.
There's your packet.
So needless to say, we've mm-hmm. now gone through all of this. We have our messages. You now have the clicker again.
Right. Okay. Are you ready?
I think so. So, what does this mean?
We're all set. We've got the directions. We've got the ingredients. Now, let me see.
So it sounds like we're just about ready here, and that we're just about ready to go on, but there's one big pitfall. Domain granularity, something that a lot of people just don't even think about.
Okay. And how many of you have heard the term fine-grained access control?
How many like fine-grained access control?
How many of you think...
There's always one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Mr. Ooh, I'm leet. I'm leet in the back.
But needless to say, when you have very fine granularity, it's much like a set of dice. I know you guys over there can't see because of the podium, but this is
well,
actually
that's okay.
nicely
we can
set
fix
up,
that.
Just like the picture. So we can take a couple of those out there and we can throw you. It becomes very unstable. Because you have a whole bunch of processes, a whole bunch
okay.
of services.
You have to hold this up and demonstrate it to the crowd behind you.
Yeah.
Okay.
A whole bunch of processes, a whole bunch of services that will all work together fairly well. You have, you know, minimal interfaces. But then you take and throw in your brand new, you know, angry Insta Twitter book application that's multifaceted.
Oh, I love that app.
It's multifaceted, and it's trying to use its own service, and now it becomes very unstable, right? Very hard to keep that together, very hard to do all of the rules.
Okay, right? Everybody who's got dice, hold them up and show the people around you.
So as you can see that, you have a rule for each and every one of these on here. So you have to have a read-write rule so that one can talk to the other, one can talk to the other, one can talk to the other, and you have a whole gob of rules here. So how in the world do we get away from that kind of granularity? Well, Casey?
Yes, sir.
How do we get away from that?
Well, it's very simple. First, we start with our floor, our base, the thing that everything else uses. We put all the components that need to talk to each other at that system level together in one domain.
Okay? So we have a floor domain.
That's right. You set it down there on the floor.
Okay, that's here on the floor.
Okay, there we go. We were going to build a wall out of dice, but we figured that might take too long.
Next,
we have your system services. A lot of system services talk to each other. Bet you didn't know that.
Okay.
Well, I bet you did, actually. But the system services tend to talk to each other, so we put them into the system domain.
Okay, so now we have system domain just above floor.
That's right. Now our applications. It turns out that in a lot of environments, including Tizen, most of the applications want to be able to talk to each other.
So we put all the applications into a user domain.
That's right.
So now we have user applications above system and above floor.
And
we now have a very small set of rules in order to accomplish this.
Right. And we've separated them appropriately so that the user kind of activities happen in amongst the user applications. The system activities are happening amongst them, and then the operating system is down below it all.
Okay, now, what happens if I have my application that I don't want the other applications to ever have access to anything that's in mine?
Okay, well, that's a special case. But because, you know, a lot of applications do want to talk to each other.
Right.
Okay, and effectively that puts them all in the same domain. Anyway, so your application. Well, here it is. Catch.
Okay.
He's pretty good at that. Okay, so we just set it right next to it. Now, he's not talking to any of the other applications, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, so he's isolated, just like isolation is easy, right?
Right, but I can still talk to system.
Because all we need is a rule for that application to talk to system, just like we have for these guys to talk to system.
Okay, so we have one set of rules there.
Yep.
Okay, now what if I have a service that application...
Does anybody else use that service?
No, just my application.
Okay, well, in that case, put that in the same domain.
Okay. So now, my application that I want completely separated is still separate. It no longer has the ability to talk to the other applications unless we actually create a specific rule to do it. But as soon as we create that specific rule to talk to the other applications, it should be in the same domain.
Right.
Right.
Because
it
they're
no
peers.
Longer should be outside.
Right. But you know what we can do here? Yeah, I've got a great idea. I've got Quicken and TurboTax and QuickBooks, and they're all going to be in one domain. And
right.
They're going to have a bunch of them talking together.
Right.
Okay. So here's just another one to throw in there, because we're demonstrating
giggles.
Giggles?
Yes, giggles.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
You said we weren't going to do giggles.
Yes. So anyway, you get the idea that by having a smaller amount of domains, you've now made your rules a whole lot easier to maintain. You've also made your system a lot easier to maintain.
Okay. However, if you do have things that really are isolated and that are not sharing, are not going into deep sharing,
yep,
then you can still keep those isolated,
right?
Which is exactly the way you want them to be.
So now this segues into a very good point where we were asked to do a case study of a SMAC implementation. And this is where we come with our when is simple too simple. In their exuberance to be very simple, they decided that every single package should be its own domain. Now, installation-wise, that's just great. Right? I mean, what could be easier? Every package has its own SMAC label. Every package is in there. Until you sit down and start creating the rules. What we ended up with is 600-plus packages in the system. We had 20,000-plus rules. And if you look at the picture there on the side, you'll see that each one of those processes had a rule that wrote to clock, okay, allowing it to read and write clock.
Why did it need to write to the clock?
We don't know. But clock also had a rule to read and write secure storage.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And if you believe that every single one of those packages there that are installed are defect-free, you've just increased your attack area immensely.
So what we've got here is a case where, in effect, we're putting everything into the same domain anyway.
What we have here is floor. So by creating all of these rules, creating all of this work, they effectively created floor.
And so what we've done here is we've just made it so that everybody is sharing everything. And rather than coming at it with the viewpoint of making intelligent domains to begin with, it was come out. The simple thing to do was to just put everything in its own domain, and that resulted in what looks very, very chaotic.
Yes. And trust me that this is absolutely 100% unmaintainable. Right? Because for every single one of those processes that had a read-write rule to just one process in the second column, it also had one for each and every one of the processes in the second column also.
So what that says is that what we really want to do is think about the domains in advance.
Yes.
Okay, so like our intelligent guy at the front.
Yep.
Okay, you need to think about what you're doing rather than just going for simple.
Exactly.
Well, now, of course, this brings us to probably our favorite slide of all time.
Oh, yeah, we love this slide.
Okay, because
Everybody in our group loves this slide.
Yes, because this really explains where this all comes from.
And trust me, we are insane. Yeah.
Okay. And what's really scary is that this is an actual quote. What's especially scary is that he has done it twice.
And continues to do it,
yes. On the other hand, we are getting great support from the Linux community for additional security features and security schemes as we're going forward. But the thing that we really need to be cognizant of is when we're doing security, we need to be very careful not to try to take take shortcuts, not to try to get our way out of doing some design up front.
The whole thing is even though it's simple, right, doesn't mean you don't have to think about it.
That's right. So we didn't promise much when we started here. We did promise you one thing there. So here's
what we promised you.
How do you like that? No beer.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so we probably have time for a question.
Or two.
What? Mike, we talked about this.
So anyway, yes, okay. If you have any questions, please.
Okay, yeah, anybody but the front row. Ah, yes, sir.
A couple of questions. The first one is, how long did you guys practice this routine?
Actually, we play off of each other quite well. We do this all the time to our boss, and he just really gets over.
Yeah. We've been practicing off and on the past couple of days.
Yes.
And the other question is, in the context of Tizen,
yes,
could you give us examples of what's in base and system, and the rules that between these three domains, what the rules are?
Okay.
I'll take that. All right. So the three domains, the three important domains that should be going forward. Okay. The floor domain is the system files that everybody needs to read. The root of the file system, for example. Device files, the things that, you know, there are a bunch of things out there on a Linux, on any Linux system that everybody needs to be able to read. Libc.so, bin shell, all of these things are things that everybody needs to have read access. That's your floor domain. Nobody should have any business writing to that. The system domain is the first layer of applications on top of that. This will be your systemd, systemd, dbus, DNS. Oh gosh.
Any of the system services that are sitting there running.
Right. Your basic system services, the things you ask to do things for you. And then the application domain is going to be essentially everything else. In Tizen going forward, we're probably looking at things like, you know, telephony being a domain. But appear in the application space more than a system service for no better reason than its information is all pretty well, you know, contained within it. So think of it in terms of that. The applications, a lot of the APIs that are provided in Tizen today require sharing of information between the application and other components of the system. So a lot of the logging databases, for example.
You look at a lot of the multifaceted applications that are out there that need access to your contacts, they need access to your, you know, to be able to send messages, they need to do all of this, and all of those should all be in single domains, obviously, right? Because they're talking to each other all of the time. What you want to do is to take and make sure that you isolate anything that doesn't need those.
Right. And your basic application, your not angry Twitter birds, because that's very,
yes,
that's very, oh, I love that app. That's very sophisticated. But your mundane, yeah, calculator application up in the application domain. It doesn't really need any isolation. From the other, we can give it. You know, we can give it if that's what you really want. But if it's going to be sharing information, again, that doesn't make sense, especially if it's sharing read-write information with another application. Those two really have to be in the same domain because they're acting as if they are.
Okay. And another question.
Okay. So, can you share any real-life numbers on amount of labels and rules you have ended up with in
Tizen 2.1, I believe.
At last count?
41,000. This is one of the areas that we're seriously looking at for Tizen 3 is rather than taking an approach where you're trying to make it easy for developers of the system, we're going to put a lot more effort into making it more correct, and that will probably make it easier for application developers. So, next question.
Our buddy Eric.
Our buddy Eric, yeah.
I was wondering, something in an app, like, say, a password safe that probably does want to be isolated, is there support during installation for configuring rules, or how's that done?
Yes, the manifest file in the when you're installed. Here you go. Have another packet.
Thanks.
See, he still catches those packets.
Hey. Boy, sign him up. Put him on the stack.
Yes.
Okay.
Good packet filter.
In Tizen, which process has a cap admin privilege?
What are the privileged process? Okay, so the question is,
System D now has cap admin, okay, and that's and System D is what actually starts up SMAC. Okay, so right now that's actually probably the only one that does.
System D, the launcher, the application right, launcher, yeah. Because it may, under some circumstances, have to launch applications with different labels.
The System D is the only process to have a.
Well, System D, the application launch, yeah, the web application launcher, those are the
installer.
The installer.
Yeah.
Has to be able to install things with, you know, with the privilege tag or with, you know, with the exec tag.
Hi. So, I'm just wondering, is there any easy way? Because, you know, in Linux we have one program is dependent on different SOs and this SO is dependent on another SO and so on. But if some SO in the bottom line change it, the SMAC rule is changed, then is there an easy way to inform the upper layer programs for these changes? Because otherwise the program suddenly failed to execute it because of the change in the rule at the bottom line.
So let me see if I understand the question correctly. So the question is, if you change the SMAC label on a library that an application depends, is there any way for that application to know that?
Yes.
Aside from the fact that it can't use it anymore, no. On the other hand, we would not expect that to be something that happens regularly. You expect to set your SMAC labels on the programs when you install them, and you would not expect to be changing those dynamically.
Yeah, and hence most system libraries would be
floor anyway.
Anyway.
Right. So, right. And the floor label is very special in that everybody can always read it. And the only reason you would change something so that it doesn't have the floor label is if you don't want everybody to use it. Now, if you have, for example, an application that depends on a library from another application, then you're going to want to seriously consider either putting those in the same domain or giving this application's domain read access to this other application's domain.
But you want to do it with the minimal set of rules because you don't want to end up effectively creating the same domain out of it.
Right. So your first shot is, if I need things that are from this other, if I'm dependent on this other domain, we should probably be the same domain. If on the other hand, it's I just want to use, you know, this library, well, then maybe read access is appropriate. But that's something you really want to work out between the domains. And again, you want to keep it as simple as possible. And if you're not in direct communication with these other people who are doing this other, who are doing this other project, you probably don't want to count on that because they may change it. You know, they may change it for any number of other reasons. I mean, they may do a new version. They may decide they don't need that library anymore. And then you've got the same problem over again, you know, whether it's a SMAC problem or whether it's just a packaging problem. Okay.
Another question?
Yeah. Will Python 3 ship with the reference pulleys?
Well,
where is it done? Then can we kind of share it? And kind of
The plan is.
The SMAC reference SE Linux. How many of you have heard of SE Linux?
Right. How many have used SE Linux?
How many of you know at least two ways to turn it off?
Yes.
Okay. Those are the people who have actually used it. SE Linux ships with a reference policy which is very large.
It's like 9,000 lines.
Put some zeros behind that.
900,000. That's right.
Okay. Now I've been challenged. I've had SE Linux people come back and say, "Wait a minute, where do you get that number from?" It's like, Well, you do a WC, and they say, "Oh, no, that's not valid. That's not anyhow. It's huge." The reference policy for SMAC is the base policy, the base rule, which is to say, if your labels don't match, you don't have access. Now for Tizen, there's definitely going to be a default set of rules, which I hesitate to call a policy, but okay, I'm being persuaded that that's what people expect to hear. So that will ship with Tizen, and the base policy will be the correct, the goal is to make that correct for the system.
Right. The goal, is for Tizen 3.0 to have the three domain policy as its base.
As its base. Now, it might actually get broken. You know, as we find that there are services that are completely standalone. Do we want to put them in their own domains? Perhaps. Are there applications that we want in their own domains? Perhaps. The concept, though, going in, you go in with three, you can always cut it up. But if you go in with 6,000,
it's hard to put it all back together.
Hard to stitch them together. That's right.
Okay.
So, next question.
Good.
Next question. Next question gets one of these fun little balls.
Actually, if you have another question, we can actually give you one of these nice little desk units.
Okay.
So that you remember what SMAC granularity is.
Okay, well, if that's
good.
Well,
thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.